Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anababe, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anababe sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Hey fam, Patrick here. Before we get to the show, I've got a big announcement, everyone. Guess what? I'm going back on tour. So the point of this tour is for me to get to see all of you in person and for you all to meet TCO fam in your area. The tour is a storytelling event that turns into a party. So for the first part of the evening, I'm going to tell you a story about a disastrously hilarious evening I spent with Golden Girls icon herself, Bea Arthur. It was a disaster because I was obsessed with her and she couldn't stand me, but she was stuck with me for the entire evening. She drank, she sang, she thought my name was Peter. And because I'm extra fam, we've brought in the incredible Bea Arthur impersonator, Jason B. Schmidt, who'll be appearing via video to play the role of Bea Arthur from Beyond the Grave, giving her take on this whole ridiculous situation. It's wild and hilarious and very similar to the book party tour I did last year, except this time I've got the story fully memorized. The story part lasts a little bit less than an hour, and then we'll all go to the venue bar. We've got the venue to ourselves for the entire night. It's a cash bar where we'll drink, we'll mix and mingle, I'll get to meet every last one of you, and you all will get to meet fellow TCO fam in your area. For the first leg of this tour, I'll be coming to Seattle for opening night, and then Los Angeles, Denver, Salt Lake City, Indianapolis, New Orleans, and Kansas City, with many more cities to be announced soon. Tickets go on sale next Monday, December 2nd, and these venues are super small. Most of them have just about 100 seats, so it's going to sell fast. It's going to be a super fun and intimate evening, and I hope you'll come and see me. Tickets will be available at patricktours.com, and that's all you need to know for now. All right, fam, we love you, and now to the show. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Does it ever cease to amaze you?
No. Like everyone's fucking, you can't trust anybody. I don't trust, this is insane. This is all insane.
Yeah.
20 years down the drain. Ridiculous.
Hi, Jillian Benzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Hey, fam. If you want more GP and me, join us over there on the Patreon. Over 400 full ad-free bonus episodes to download and binge the second you sign up. What do we got? What are some of the highlights?
Love Has Won the Cult of Mother God.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about that the other day. That one was wild.
It was really crazy.
They transported her body across six state lines.
Colloidal silver. Don't do it.
She turned blue.
Don't do it.
I know.
It's really bad.
What else we got?
We did other things. But...
The Jinx, season two of The Jinx.
Yep.
Oh, Natalia Grace. That one was wild.
Remember that one.
Season one, season two of Natalia Grace, except we did them two at a time, like a staircase you don't want to go up.
Okay. Just get it the hell over with.
We also do ad-free versions of these episodes. There's the Hero Bell tier where we make special episodes just for them. The holiday calendar. Now is a great time to upgrade the Hero Bell.
Right,
you get the holiday calendar. It's so much fun. We do drag bingo once a month as well. We're doing our Christmas drag bingo, I believe, mid-December. Can't remember the date. The 12th, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Me either. What are we talking about today, girl?
All right, so this is that show Worst Roommate Ever on Netflix, season 2, episode 1, My BFF Tried to Kill Me.
I was happy. Ryder loved it here. But seeing it just makes me angry.
I really have a hard time believing that the person that I've known for 25 years, my best friend and a roommate, could do what she did. But it was diabolical. It was evil. It was plotted and planned so perfectly. She found joy in tormenting me. I don't think I was human to her. I think if I had died, she would have sat in this house with my child And I don't think she would have ever thought of it again.
Can we start by saying that this is a really good series? Like, it's really, really well made,
Worst
I think.
Worst ex ever, too.
Yeah.
Because it's all, like, it's so victim-focused.
Yes. I will say, we were talking about this before we started, I think there's a fair amount of information that gets left out of this one.
I agree.
The story's interesting, the characters are compelling, but and it's well made, but I'm like, a little more information would go a long way.
Yeah, I think there's stuff where, I mean, I'm overwhelmed by the stuff we do know, but yeah. I definitely have questions.
Yep. All right, well, we meet Rachel. We're in Salt Lake City, Utah. Quick shout-out to the Salt Lake City Facebook group.
Hey, SLC.
Hi, Suze. Hi, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
They're doing a Friendsgiving. I'm so jealous.
Oh, cute. I love that.
But Rachel tells us she met Janie in 1995. Rachel was 22. Janie was 4 years older than her. If you're doing the math on that, that makes Janie 26.
Mm-hmm. And Janie was great. Like, they always are at first.
I don't know. I mean, right from the beginning.
I hated Janie on site, if I may. She's a fucking drip. And she's an annoying.
I know.
She's a lot of work.
Well, right, because Rachel describes her as...
She was a very nice person. Very sweet, a little bit shy-ish, and introverted. When we met and we started hanging out socially, I had gone through a divorce and moved back to my parents' home.
A little introverted? No, she's like a controlling
nightmare.
Manipulative, like, ego.
Drip.
She's a Herb.
But Rach, total fucking Herb. But yeah. Herb is even, she's like, Herbs are usually pretty low-key.
Yeah.
Weirdly, you know what I mean? Like, Mark Vicente's a Herb.
Uh-huh.
Remember Mark him from The Vow?
That was like the most, yes, I did.
But
love
he's
it.
A Herb, because he's such like, a Herb. You know?
Give me, like, one more example of a Herb.
Keith like, Raniere, again, from The Vow, super Herb.
Sometimes I think about the people dancing outside of his cell.
Yeah.
Like, they still do it to this day.
The dad from Natalia Grace, even though he's at 100 all the time, he's definitely a fucking Herb. But Rachel, our victim, was really going through it. She's 22 years old, going through a divorce. She moves back in with her parents.
Yeah.
She's just, like, trying to get back on her feet.
And it's almost as though Janie noticed that there was a woman who had a lot of, like, drama and trauma in her life and was at a low point and swooped in to be her best friend.
That's exactly what happened. But before we get there, Richard is Rachel's father.
Yeah.
They were apparently close as Rachel was growing up. Rachel is the sixth of seven kids.
Too many kids.
Huge family.
Too many kids.
Lots
I know
of kids.
A lot of you out there have that many children, and I'm sure you are absolutely fucking nailing it, and you love it, and you are happy, and that is awesome. I have one. I am exhausted all the time. There's a lot of dramatics.
Somewhere Steve's like, yeah, I know.
He's got two.
Hurt.
I only have one. He's got two kids.
He's got three. He has golden.
That's true. But, you know, the dad is telling us.
Rachel's first husband was quite opinionated. He wanted things done his way, and I think it was a bad start for her, and I think that's why it ended so quickly.
It was a bad start for her, and I'm like, Richard, the word's abusive.
Yeah, he
and
then wanted like, things done his way.
And then I'm like, yeah, right, but am I part of the problem? Like not everything is trauma and abuse and a narcissist.
Maybe.
But it made me go, like, I don't like the words that are being used here.
No, opinionated, wanted things done his way. I just made a note here. Like, I wonder how I will handle it if the person that Daisy ends up with is an asshole. Like, what? Like that is a fucking relationship. Not that I would ever let anything kill my relationship with Daisy, but, like, that would make it really hard.
Yeah, it is hard.
You know?
It's hard.
That's why I'm so awesome. You're welcome, Tiptons.
Yeah. Right?
You know, hey, can I get an amen? Or,
Crickets. Crickets.
I'm at least fun to be around, right, Julie?
Yep.
Anyway, first marriage ended quickly, thank God.
Yeah, Rachel says she was dealing with the lasting emotional effects of leaving a marriage like that. And that's when she meets Janie. And Rachel says something where it's like, oh, I see.
I have the note right here. I'm like, how these sick fucking people can just tell.
She says, I was so used to being constantly criticized and Janie didn't judge me. I finally found someone who's letting me be me.
Yeah.
Which is so like... sad that's like, oh, that's here's exactly what happened. Like, we can trace it back to that very moment.
Well, that's right, because these people who prey on people like Rachel can just tell, you know? And sometimes I think those people don't even know they're doing it. They're just terrible people, and they don't even know.
I think so, too. I think they see, I mean, I definitely think there was something in Rachel that Janie really wanted to be around. Like, I think she really liked her.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're at 100, like, oh, I don't,
We've been through a lot over here.
Like, when we're at the end of this, I don't know if this is what Janie always wanted, but I think it, like, anyway.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids.
But with Anabae, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabae sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out. starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
So Rachel and Janie become roommates.
I lived at home with my parents, but was hoping to get out. And she had lived in an apartment by herself that had gotten broken into, and she didn't want to live alone. We'd only known each other a couple months, but we just looked at each other and, okay, there's the solution.
They only knew each other for a few months, but this seemed like a great idea for both of them, like at least for now to kind of get back on track.
But like right away, Rachel is saying, like, when I first moved in, she says she felt very safe.
1995, they move in.
Yeah, and they never, like, prime Lilith Fair years. I would at least like to know they went to the Fair's Lilith.
Oh,
you know
God,
what I mean?
Hope so.
Three in a row I went to.
I want, like, Tori, even like Liz Phair
on
the playlist.
Did you go to Lilith Fair?
I never went to Lilith Fair.
There was
before
something.
My time.
Yeah, it was so empowering for women because it was literally, there were no men's restrooms. It was like, it was all women, and you would just like, it was, Lilith Fair was the most amazing, like, lady retreat you can imagine for 3 hours.
It's like the Eras Tour.
Yeah, totally.
Going there and being like, wow, I feel safe here.
It's like,
I'm around 70,000 people and I feel good.
I know. It, because
what,
it's all.
What
like,
is this?
It's like cool ladies and awesome dads. You know what I mean?
I don't think I saw a man.
For miles.
It was heaven.
Have you been seeing all of the TikToks of Taylor's security getting her into the Jets game or
which
whatever
she corrected
it's
them and said.
Wait, yeah, I was telling this to Steve. She's like, back up, back up, back up. And she walks
back up, please.
It was amazing.
And that was to security, not the Paps.
Yes, it was absolutely incredible.
Anyway, so 1995, they move in. Janie, major red flag number one.
Her strengths were the finances, making sure bills were paid. Yeah, we had my money and her money, but she still made decisions about what I did with my money and what I bought. And so she just seemed so adult to me.
She was also telling Rachel how to spend her own money because Janie, we'll learn, is, quote, the adult.
Right.
And she really and, like, weirdly played into that role.
And no, the thing about it is that, like, she's 4 years older. You can sort of understand an older sister dynamic. Rachel has an awesome older sister. Her name is Bette. She's here. So it's not like she needed an older sister, but they were, like, they definitely provided things for each other. So Rachel sort of needed that sort of guidance, especially living on her own for the first time.
Right, but unless and until they might be evicted because of Rachel's frivolous spending, stay out of it, Janie.
Well, and because I have that note, too, like, to immediately take control of the finances. It's so culty.
Counting
it's
her so drinks, like, counting her dollars. Uh-huh. Oh, you sure you need that? Yes, I do.
I know.
Leave me alone.
No, we don't like Janie.
She just sounds like a fucking nightmare because then it was like Rachel was the fun one,
yes.
And she, like, taught Janie how to have fun, and it's like, oh my God.
Now, this is another thing we were talking about off mic, that Rachel tells a story that sometimes they would go to bars, like Janie never went out, and so Rachel's bringing Janie to bars, and sometimes...
Because Rachel has all the friends and, like, knows all the places to go.
Right, and sometimes they would get there, and Rachel's like, we would play this game where I pretended not to speak English, and she was my interpreter, and I'm like, Rachel, do you not hear how controlling... That is literally her making it so you can't talk to anybody else at the bar that whole night.
She's navigating the entire...
Exactly. Like, it's Rachel doesn't even see it. It's so manipulative and so controlling. And
it's also fucking weird.
It is weird.
Like, it's also just a weird thing
to do. It's also not a fun game. But it's, like, I just want to say that, like, Rachel is, in my opinion, and what the hell do I know, but she's particularly susceptible to this because she's nice and sweet. And to the bitter end of this fucking episode in a way that makes me want to scream my head off, she wants to see the best in people and blame herself when people are bad to her. It makes me really sad for her.
Yeah.
But if everyone could just be nice, we wouldn't have to worry about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it would be nice if, like, Janie was nice, too.
That's what I mean.
Does Rachel have to do all that fucking
nice
thing?
No, what I'm saying is, like, if there were only nice people in the world, then the Janies would thrive.
That's what I'm saying.
Then the Rachels would thrive.
I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
It's like, Rachel has to do all of it? Great.
I know.
So, but Janie starts now, like, really attaching herself to Rachel. Now she's talking like her. She's dressing like her.
Yeah.
Really wanted to be her. And I'm like, here we go.
And we meet Robin, who's Rachel's friend. And Robin, you know, Robin is now, like, a doctor. And at the time, she was, like, you know, doing her rotations or whatever.
At the emergency department.
I'm like,
all right, genius.
Amazing.
Saving lives.
And she met Rachel because Rachel was an EMT, which is, like, the coolest fucking
amazing
thing. So, like, you know, Robin's like, we would always befriend the EMTs who, like, dropped off the people at the emergency room. But, you know, Robin is saying that they would go out and, like, Rachel had this fabulous life. She's young and beautiful and dating and life of the party. But, like, right away, Robin and the rest of the friends are noticing that if Rachel got any attention from men, from women, from anybody who wanted to be in her orbit who wasn't Janie, Janie would immediately just, like, shut down, freak out, get pissed off, ruin the night.
Yeah, she didn't like that Rachel had a great time with friends. She didn't like that Rachel was getting asked to dance. Yeah. She didn't like that Rachel loved her job. She didn't like, do you like Rachel? No, because Janie is a certified fucking hater.
Yes.
Janie is the biggest hater, and she hates Rachel because she wants to be Rachel.
Exactly.
So instead of just admiring Rachel and trying to, like, wow, we really can balance each other out. We're the odd couple. How cute, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
She has to, like, destroy Rachel because she can't be Rachel.
Exactly.
So
yep.
That's where we are.
Yep.
So 1996, Rachel meets a guy. He's, quote, dreamy. She's head over heels. Janie hates him immediately.
Yeah. And, like, this is where things start to get really crazy. Rachel tells the story, like, we'd be watching a movie upstairs in my room.
And she'd sit at the bottom of the stairs and scream at the top of her lungs at me about how loud the movie was. It was embarrassing. But her excuse was always, I'm protective of you because he seems like he's a player.
Screaming up the stairs about how loud the movie, just to ruin the night.
But she's the adult, right?
Right, exactly.
She's the adult and all the money has to be in her name. She's the adult in the room and yet
right.
She's throwing a temper tantrum.
Now, I gotta tell you, and this is not because I'm an adult now. The first time anybody did that to me, I would be fucking out of there. This is the beginning of I do not understand why Rachel tolerated any
because
of
you,
this.
But you would, I think. Because of their dynamic. They
uh-huh.
They lived together. They really helped each other out at a certain time. They met at a certain place. Like, if you really think about it like that, if you met someone...
I am definitely the kind of person who has made excuses for people who've done horrible things.
If you met this person...
Yep.
In 2 seconds, your first meeting, and they're screaming at the bottom of the stairs, you'd be like, I'm never seeing this person again. But if you have, it depends on how you met.
No, you're absolutely
whatever.
Right. You're right, because when you have a dynamic with a person that you care about and they are acting fucking weird.
Doesn't matter.
You make excuses and you want to stay in it for whatever reason.
For whatever reason.
Yeah.
Could be a million reasons. So
yeah.
Janie would turn it around like she's concerned for Rachel. Oh, I'm protecting her. This guy sucks. And then Janie would make Rachel feel guilty for being upset at Janie's truly unhinged behavior.
Do you ever feel like maybe... Yeah, I'm sure. But do you ever feel like maybe this will happen less now that there's all these documentaries? Is that, like,
you know,
like,
I hope.
Because
I
like,
hope.
Back in this time, 1995, like, these documentaries didn't exist. People weren't talking about how crazy this behavior really is.
And the thing is, a lot of times it gets to the point where an episode of a documentary is made about it.
Yeah.
Because I think so many times the Rachels in the room are like... that's weird, but is it weird enough
mention? Absolutely.
And then that times a million,
yep.
And now we're here. So
yep.
I do wonder if people are seeing, like... Maybe I should tell someone about this.
And especially because we learned that Rachel and Janie both are, like, true crime girlies. They love it. Like, they would have watched Worst Roommate Ever, and Rachel would be eyeing her next to her on the couch, like,
As Janie's literally taking notes.
Totally.
Which we will get to in a moment.
Totally.
But yeah, I hope that it makes people think, in a friendship or any kind of dynamic that you have, kind of being like, oh.
Well, it's one of the good things that we can get out of this genre is that the more we talk about this, the more, like, people should recognize this shit is fucking weird. I'm obsessed with this podcast called Betrayal Now, which is all about these stories.
God.
Of, like, women and men surviving these horrendous relationships and, like, the warning signs that were missed and whatever.
And I think it's very easy to say, which Rachel will say later, like, she would never do that because you, the Rachels, would never do that. So
right.
It's like, I've known this person for 20 years. She would never do this. Like, yeah, she will.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, everyone. Like, I'm a real fucking cynic today, but yeah, they will.
Also, like,
they will hurt you and they will disappoint you.
There are two seasons of this show. There's, like, 100 episodes of Betrayal. This kind of extreme abuse is not all that unusual.
Not at all.
You know
what
I mean?
Because it never starts like that.
Right. And people probably feel very isolated. They feel like it's only ever happening to me. Nobody's going to believe me. Like,
by design.
Right. Feel less alone. Know that this happens a lot.
It happens all the time. Like, it doesn't start at the end. It starts with that really weird game with the translation at the bar.
Yes. And all of a sudden she's running your finances, but teaching you how to run your finances.
Because I actually was in a bad place and
yeah.
she really is helping me out.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, browbeat you and they beat you the fuck down until you're like, they're right. I'm worthless without them.
Yeah.
And now we're fucking here.
Right. So.
Aren't you glad you pressed play today, dear listener?
Do you, is everything okay? Do you
want
to talk
about
anything?
I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at the thing.
I know.
Now, and this, like, I get it, but it also didn't help matters.
You know what I'm going to say?
What?
Leave the lesbians out of it.
I initially thought that it was an instance of unrequited love or some sort of jilting of someone who wanted to be in a romantic relationship with her best friend.
because all of Rachel's friends think Janie's in love with her.
Right, and that is a very obvious conclusion to jump to that I really do think is not true.
Uh-huh.
I really don't think there is that. I think that she wants to control her or be her.
Be her.
It feels much more single wife female-y to me than it feels like I want, like I'm in love with you and I can't have you.
And, but the friends.
Because I don't know that it would have been off the table.
No.
To be honest.
Because friends are like, she's jealous of everyone.
Yeah.
She wants you all to herself. So it kind of makes sense to the friends to be like, is there like something going on
it's
here?
It's also 1995. Again, we weren't talking about these kinds of, like people just thought like, oh, she must just be in love with you,
right.
You know? And like, yeah, I mean, I can see how that makes sense, but Rachel here is adamant that that is not the case.
No, she says it's not the case, but Janie would also like scream at Rachel in front of these friends and call her a whore.
Like,
and I'm like, wait, tell me again that Janie's the adult in the room.
I know. And Rachel would say to her, like, do you just not like me? Like, you are horrible to me.
She's a
do
hater.
You just not like me? And Janie would respond, you're my family. I just don't want to lose you.
Right. It would always become about that. And then it's very like, almost, to me, it's like almost instantly, it's this codependent relationship.
Yeah, yes,
because Janie would like bully and harass Rachel and Rachel would feel bad. And then Rachel changed her behavior to make Janie happy.
And she says, like,
she's never going
to
be happy.
And it's not just to make her happy. It's to make it stop.
It's to get a little breather.
Yes, yes.
Maybe she won't get on my, maybe she'll call me a whore
yelling, yes,
in front of everyone.
Exactly. And Rachel doesn't even necessarily know that that's why she's changing her behavior, slimming down her friend group. She doesn't realize she's trying to appease Janie, not just because she's my friend and I love her and I want to make her happy. I want the abuse to stop.
Right, but it's also while she's doing that, she's isolating.
Yes.
And controlling.
Yes.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
So January 2010, 14 years later.
I screamed when I saw that number.
And no one is saying it out loud. They've been roommates for 14 years. And that's an awful long time to be roommates. It just, I'm just saying it's a long time to be someone's roommate.
That is absolutely true. One thing that we, and again, I don't know if this is just information that's left out or whatever, but like the whole setup here is that Rachel is dating and she was married and she had that boyfriend and she's, you know, we never hear about Janie ever being in a relationship. Maybe she wasn't, they just don't tell us, but we never hear about that. I doubt it too.
So Rachel was a paramedic for 6 years and she couldn't do that anymore and she had a herniated disc. So she says that it wasn't possible to continue doing her job. And that sucks because Rachel loved her job and she was freaking great at it.
Yeah. And so, but now for the first time in her adult life, she's not making any money. She's still living with Janie. And now Rachel isn't contributing to the household expenses for the first time. And she says,
I was always big into fitness and being active. My career and being social. All three of those things were taken away immediately. And it was a very short period of time between this happening and then I found out I was pregnant at the same time.
And on top of it, she gets pregnant.
Yes.
And on top of that, the father, quote, opts out.
Can we not with that?
I would love to.
Rachel says that it was a situation in which the biological father opted out. I'm like, please tell me that you opted into forcing him to pay child support. It doesn't sound like
I
it.
I don't think so.
Like, I know the fucking hell my mother went through trying to get my dad to pay child support.
Yeah.
And it was court ordered. My dad could have gone to prison, but that would have meant my mom would have the money to get the attorney to take him to court. Like, it is an absolute nightmare if the biological father just decides he's not going to have anything to do with the kid.
That's
and
my grandfather
just
did, yeah.
Leaves. Yeah. So I understand. I feel for Rachel because that, like, you know, not having any money and now you've got a kid and you can't work and now you're relying on this person who's horrible to you.
Right. And Rachel says Janie had 100% control over me.
Yes.
Rachel was in a lot of pain. She couldn't work. She couldn't go out. She was pregnant. And Rachel's like, I needed her.
Yes.
And now we're going to meet Ryder, who's Rachel's son.
Oh, my God.
And she says, Ryder is magic. He's the best thing I've ever done.
And like, I don't know how old he is when we meet him here, but maybe 10. The way that he, like, in the middle of the interview, just crawls into his mother's arms.
And I just want to say, I know there's a lot of discussion about how to say all of this. So Rachel says that Ryder has autism. I know that some people prefer is autistic, but Rachel, I'm using Rachel's words here. But she says he's conversationally nonverbal. And Rachel was eventually told that Ryder would probably never speak at all, is what she was told.
Because there's a difference between conversationally nonverbal and nonverbal. He is not nonverbal. He just isn't a, you can't have like a conversation with him necessarily.
Right. And Rachel was like, okay, but the thing about Ryder is that he loves music. And when we meet him, he's wearing these cool looking headphones.
Yeah.
But for the next 18 months after Rachel was told that, she sang to Ryder.
Yes.
And she explains how that worked.
Yeah.
Because the neuroplasticity, it's a different pathway for speech and in singing. And so I knew that if the speech one wasn't working, I was trying to get that, get the music one. And it worked. Ryder's first words were songs.
And it worked because she says Ryder's first words were songs. And I'm like, oh my God, this dynamic duo. I just love it so
much.
Ryder
is also just, he's that little kid that every adult who meets him just instantly falls in love with him, including me. I was like, I want a Ryder hug.
I know.
He's just the sweetest little kid.
And so when Ryder was born, Rachel took out a massive life insurance policy on herself so that whoever took Ryder in would have a lot of money for his care. And I'm like, finally, a life insurance policy we can get behind. Except no, I'm wrong because the person who's going to take care of Ryder if Rachel isn't around is Janie.
Yeah, can we talk about Rachel's family for a second?
I would love to. I mean, yes. I have a lot of questions.
Very
Where are they?
Well, that's exactly it. So we meet her dad. We meet her sister, Bet.
And Rachel's one of seven.
And so I just have a lot of questions because we will eventually be told that Bet lived 5 hours away from Rachel.
And is a nurse. And it's not helping her.
And so all I know is that this woman, Janie, who is horrible to Rachel, but Rachel's completely dependent on, is now in charge of the life insurance policy. Like, it just, as a person who has nieces and nephews, I'll just say, over my dead fucking body, would anybody else be raising those kids?
The 14-year roommate?
Yeah, right. But now, once again, Ryder is a kid with special needs, right? And so as this progresses, we were talking about this off mic. I can imagine a world in which the family is like, that would be really hard. There's this woman in his life, Janie, who loves him, knows how to take care of him, who he's used to, who he's comfortable with, who he would probably want to stay with. So I guess I do understand that dynamic. But Rachel is about to go through fucking hell for another 10 years. And it doesn't feel like her family steps in all that much.
I agree with you. I have the very same question. I don't know where anybody is. Like, for Janie to be listed as Ryder's guardian in Rachel's will seems major.
It really does. And the more I think about it, the more I'm thinking, because the most important person in the equation is Ryder, and Ryder really loves her.
Well, that's the other thing.
You know, and feels really comfortable with her.
And
so
Janie's there, not 5 hours away.
Right.
It's a 14-year friendship.
But we're about to learn all of the surgeries that Rachel's going to have. It just seems like her family just isn't around that much, and she really needs help.
I agree.
Anyway.
So Rachel is injured again because as she's in labor, she herniates another disc, which is horrifying. So she's in even more pain. She's a brand new mom.
So I let it go for a really long time because I just was convinced that I could live life as normally as I could. Eventually, I had to do an MRI. The doctor said, you need surgery or else you're going to have permanent disability.
So by January of 2015, these two have been roommates for 20 years.
I mean, that is wild.
It feels a little crazy.
But I guess,
does it? Am I an asshole?
No, you're not. But I was just going to say that just once again, it is making a little bit more sense to me that, like, with Ryder's special needs and Ryder loving Janie, it's a reason to stay, you know?
And if it ain't broke, from Rachel's perspective, if it ain't broke.
Yes. And Rachel, just any single parent needs help. And a parent of a kid with special needs probably also needs more help. So it feels a little bit like, I've been thinking about this all day, and it feels a little bit less crazy when you kind of look at it through that
With
lens.
With full context? Sure. But in January of 2015, after they've been roommates for 20 years, like, Rachel...
Sorry, if I was a single dad, everybody in my life would be moving in with me. I'd be for
under
20
duress.
Years. Under duress.
Rachel has surgery to prevent permanent damage.
Yeah.
And she says she's in a ridiculous amount of pain. She's taking a ton of painkillers. It's hard for her to even leave the bed. Now, Janie is watching all of this happen and is taking care of Ryder, who was just born, remember? Because she she had this second herniated disc in labor. So Ryder's a baby.
Yeah, and the way that it's said, Rachel says, Janie takes over as caregiver for Ryder. Those are specific words. This is not like she's caring for him. Like, taking over as caregiver.
No, she's picking him up. She's holding him. She's doing all the things that Rachel can't do.
She's keeping him alive.
She's doing all of the really intimate things that a mother does a parent does with a little baby.
Yep.
So Rachel can't do it right now. So Janie and Ryder form this bond and this closeness because he's 2 months old and Janie's the one holding him.
Yeah, and like this is where Rachel's family does come in. And you know, Beth's like, I live 5 hours away. The dad moved across the country. Like, they were all very grateful that there was somebody in Rachel's life who could provide that level of care for Ryder.
Right. And so for all of Janie's faults, of which there are no less than 1 million or fewer, whatever, she had a very important...
Hi, Janie. I hope you're listening.
Fuck you.
Hey,
she had a very important and cool job.
Yeah.
Her job is working at a training center that was focused on helping Indigenous people get jobs.
Yes.
That's all we hear about it. She did one decent thing in her whole fucking life, and this is it, and we skate right by it.
And, she has a very flexible schedule there. And this is where we learn, this is the way it is explained in the documentary. It is explained by Rachel.
She got us enrolled in a program that paid Janie to basically help me with Ryder, what they call respite. And so Janie started to do very well financially. It became a significant part of her income.
Janie started to do very well financially because of this, and it became a significant part of her income. So I have a little bit of experience with this because it's adjacent to the foster care system.
Okay.
And I looked it up to make sure that I was saying it right, but basically, the definition, I'm reading it here, it's respite care is a short-term temporary care service that gives family caregivers a break from their caregiving responsibilities, meaning somebody is paid to take over the care of somebody else's family member when that person can no longer provide that care.
Okay.
Right? I just wanted to say that, like, we'll get more into it in a minute when we get to how this affects the relationships, but respite care is a very specific thing with, like, legal ramifications.
Right, and it seems like the way it's described, and again, I'm learning about this in this moment watching this documentary, but it's like Janie got them enrolled in this program, but I have to assume that Rachel consented to all of this.
Of course.
Like, Rachel had to, like, because who the hell is Janie?
Right. No, I think, and especially probably Janie explained it, like, we're going to get paid to do this. What is important to remember here, though, is that in order for them to get enrolled in this program, Rachel has to acknowledge that she cannot care for her son.
Right.
That is an important thing to remember here.
Okay.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids.
But with Anna-Babe, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabe sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
So Janie's whole focus became Ryder now.
Yeah.
She's very, very involved in his life. And now he's growing up. He's 5, 6 years old.
There were times when, you know, there'd be events at his school that I was well enough to go to. And it was like, we would walk in and she's talking to the other parents that I don't even know. She's talking to the principal. She was like the mayor of the school. She started letting people believe that she was Ryder's parent.
Janie is letting people believe that she's Ryder's mother.
Yes.
And it's a major problem. And then if it hasn't dawned on you yet, I'm just going to spell it out for you. She's not here to help Rachel.
Yeah.
She's here to be Rachel.
Exactly.
She's here to replace Rachel.
Yes.
Because as the respite person, as Janie, you should be like, I'm here on behalf of, you know, Ryder's not my son. I'm just taking care of him.
Yeah.
Like, that's on you as the Janie person in the real world, in the normal world.
Yes.
To be like, you see yourself as sort of a representative in some way.
Yes.
Not to just allow people to believe that you're his mother.
No, and it's like when you're the Rachel and you are in so much pain and you can barely care for yourself, you definitely can't care for your kid, you kind of can't rock the boat on Parents' Night with Janie because you need her. you know?
Right, but Rachel doesn't like what she saw at school.
Yeah.
So she starts setting some boundaries. And, like, Janie wants to take Ryder to work with her, which would be separating Ryder from Rachel for the day.
But also, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I'm not advocating for anything that Janie did. In a world where Rachel is bedridden and on opioids all day, like, that might be the smart thing for Ryder to be at work with Janie.
Yeah, well, Janie doesn't like the boundaries.
No.
That's the point.
And right, and we don't get the context. We don't get any more than Janie is overstepping, Rachel doesn't like it, and Rachel finally puts her foot down and says no.
And Janie doesn't like that part.
Yeah.
So between 2015 and 2018, we learn that Rachel has seven back surgeries in 3 years.
And again, we don't get the full scope, but they do not seem like minor back surgeries.
No.
I had minor lower back surgery a few years ago, and it took me out for weeks.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
My
yeah.
God, really?
Yeah. And it was, you know, and I'll get to it when we get to the wound care section of this, because it's like, I know you can't, like, you cannot do it without another person to help, like, caring for you. You truly can't.
Okay.
But Rachel is about to be basically incapacitated for 3 years.
So Rachel says two very big things here, almost in the same breath.
Yeah.
One, I started falling a lot, which means that physically she's not doing very well.
Yeah.
But two,
because I wanted to be responsible anytime I was on pain medication, especially after surgery where I was on the higher dosages, I made sure that Janie administered it and then kept a running log so that I didn't duplicate on accident.
To make sure I wasn't taking too much.
Right.
This is, again, it's like, it's the financial abuse controlling the finances.
Totally.
It's the same thing. You're controlling her medication now.
Yeah. One other thing. In addition to the seven back surgeries, she falls and hurts her neck and needs an additional two neck surgeries.
Right.
Like, Rachel is basically always at the hospital.
So by June 20th...
I want to be really clear. I am not blaming Rachel. I'm trying to paint a full picture of, like, how we get to where we end up.
Yeah. And I'm just like, well, is she over-medicating you and that's why you're falling?
Correct.
Is she making it a reason? Because by June 20th, 2018, Janie takes Ryder to work with her, which is the boundary that Rachel set, and it's not enforced.
Yes.
And that could possibly be because Rachel's having 50 surgeries.
Right.
And we have to pick our battles here. But at the same time, it's like, does Janie always walk behind you on the stairs? Like,
right.
Why are you falling all the time? Why
right.
is she in control of your medication? Like, a lot of this is by
As
design.
We always say we've got the benefit of seeing it all presented
yeah.
to it. But when you're Rachel and you're living in it, you're probably not putting it all together
no,
all the time.
No, because you're in mind-numbing pain.
Yep. And some days, Janie taking the kid to work is a real savior. And other days, you want to be with your kid, but she wants to take it. And,
yeah.
like, it's
and
a
you're
nightmare.
Sad and you're lonely. And you'd
yeah.
be sadder and lonelier if you didn't have them. So
right.
it's like, you're spiraling.
She used to be an active, vital woman. And now she can barely leave the house. Like,
yeah.
It's terrible.
But so Janie takes Ryder to work, which Rachel didn't want, but here we are.
Yeah.
Now, the two of them are out of the house, and Rachel checks the mail. And there is a letter informing Rachel that she is now in a custody battle for her own son, Ryder.
Yeah, and, with Janie.
And during this battle, Janie has been assigned to be Ryder's guardian.
Yes.
Because Janie is, quote, worried for Ryder's safety around Rachel and went behind Rachel's back to the courts. And now Rachel calls Janie, who's thrilled to hear from Rachel. She's like, oh my God, a phone call in the middle of the day? This is so nice. What's going on, girl?
She answered perky and happy. Hello, you know, hey, oh, you're up, you know. And I said, are you suing me for custody of Ryder? And then, just quietly, she said, yes. And then she hung up on me.
Janie just goes, yeah, click.
Then hangs up.
Yes. But also, Janie, you fucking hate her. Say it to my face.
Well, but also, like, how did you think this was going to go down?
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, she was eventually going to fucking find out.
But it's also like, how did you, is that why you wanted Ryder out of the house?
I know. I was surprised that she didn't, like, that Janie didn't check the mail and intercept that letter before Rachel got it.
But Ryder is what she intercepted, is what I'm saying.
Right.
She
yeah.
got Ryder out of the house
yeah.
so that Rachel can't make any sudden movements.
Well, right. So Rachel calls 911 and she's like, ah, my best friend and roommate has my kid. And she won't give him back. 911 hangs up with Rachel, calls Janie, calls Rachel back, and she's like, so, girl, you haven't been served yet, but this Janie person has filed a protective order against you. Like, you gotta get out. You have to leave the house.
Because everything is in Janie's name.
Yes.
Because she's, quote, the adult. So it's Janie's house, and now Rachel has to leave.
And you have to leave your kid.
Oh, yeah, because Janie has custody of Ryder while this whole thing gets
exactly.
sorted out.
Exactly, exactly.
So Rachel, who is recovering from seven surgeries in 3 years, who's no threat to anyone,
yeah.
now has a protective order against her, and it is in a custody battle for her own son, and she has nowhere to live.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's this is all crazy.
It's all like when you she woke up and the world exploded.
Exactly.
So Rachel is now in a hotel that her dad helped her get. And
she drove there. She says, I hadn't driven in years.
It's so dangerous.
But it, not only is it dangerous, it is just fully, every new sentence we're learning how severely isolated she had become.
And how dangerous her life is.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, not to give too much away, but like, was that unfortunate accident maybe the perfect end to this, Janie?
Oh, right.
To make,
right.
Like, you know, Rachel doesn't have any other option. She has to get in the car. She has been recovering. She shouldn't be driving. And like, oh, no.
Right. Oh, my God.
You
right.
know, like, yeah. Is that why we end where we end? Because all of these other options just didn't work out for Janie?
And it's going to get so much fucking worse.
Because the other options weren't working out,
right.
maybe.
Yeah,
it's
maybe.
Just a theory that I came up with in this very
no,
moment.
No, it makes sense. So, you know, Rachel tells us Child Protective Services came out. They met with Janie first. And Janie tells them Rachel had become addicted to her pain meds, that she wasn't...
That Janie was in charge of, by the way.
Which Janie was in charge of.
Make that math make sense.
Right, that she wasn't properly taking care of her kid, and Janie had to step in and do it.
So CPS talks to Rachel.
And then when they came and talked to me, it was like within 3 minutes, they knew she'd been lying about everything. He's like, she didn't say, not only did she not say you had this surgery, she didn't say you had any. She just made it sound like you were just addicted to opiates.
There's proof that she had those herniated discs, like, and they're like,
right.
Oh.
Because CPS thought that she was just like somehow getting opioids on the street and had become addicted to them.
Not the case.
Not the case.
So 10 days later, which is 10 days too long, but 10 days later, yeah. Ryder is back with Rachel. And CPS knows that Janie is like lying and crazy, and yet it takes them 10 days to get Ryder
it's
back.
It's insane.
Now, we also know that Ryder's communication is something that he worked on very, very, very hard with Rachel, making him extra vulnerable,
yes.
Which makes me hate Janie even more.
Of course.
So Rachel and Ryder move into a family shelter, which is again, like, where's her family exactly?
I mean, this is the thing that makes no sense to me, because Rachel goes out of her way to say that she was grateful for the shelter. They do great work. But because of Ryder's autism, it was a really bad place for him.
He struggled here. She says he regressed. She says he was not happy.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to ask once again, like, where her family
because,
was.
Because, again, Bette, I don't know your life. I don't know your circumstances. Truly, like, you know, because my whole thing is, like, if my sister and her kid were in a shelter, there's absolutely no fucking way. No fucking
no way.
Way.
No way. While the child is struggling
right,
and regressing
right, exactly.
after all the hard work that Rachel did.
Because I said a million times, I can see why the family leaves him with Janie, not knowing the extent of everything, because Ryder's comfortable there. He likes her. He wants to be with her.
Yeah.
But living in a shelter, like, oh my God.
Yeah. So 6 weeks later, Janie calls Rachel and wants to see Ryder. And Rachel says yes.
I know.
And she explains why. Because she says every single day, all Ryder wanted to do was go home.
Yeah.
He just wanted to go home. And Rachel was like, maybe he misses Janie because they were bonded to that. And she was a big part of his life. And like, Ryder's a kid. He doesn't know the ins and outs of this. He knows he liked his life the way it was. And now his life isn't like that anymore. And he wants to go back to the part he liked.
He's a kid who is struggling enough on the best day.
He just wants to go back to the time that he liked.
And imagine you're his mother and you're watching him backslide
and
from all the
and beg you to just do this thing that's right in front
of you. You would do anything. I mean, when I was first watching this, I was like, this is insane, Rachel. What are you doing? But then I was like, you do anything. You do
for Ryder,
anything for Ryder. You do anything.
So Rachel's like, okay, but we're going to meet at a public park.
Janie apologized. She started talking about how she was in a dark place. And she, again, thought that I was going to leave her. And it felt like the Janie that I'd known. She didn't seem dark and twisty anymore.
It felt like the Janie I had known.
She didn't seem dark anymore.
I mean,
is what she said. She
it's
didn't seem
pretty
dark anymore.
Fucked up toxic relationship. Like,
super codependent.
Janie is the worst, but and Rachel desperately needs her, but it's sort of like.
But Rachel is seeing what she needs to see to
yes.
tell Ryder he can go home.
Mm-hmm.
That's really all it
mm-hmm.
is. You human beings will do crazy shit to believe what we need to believe any
yeah.
given day, to
yeah.
get through whatever situation, to help. What, you know what I mean? Toxic
yes.
or not, codependent or not, Rachel had to believe it. Because her son was begging her to go home.
Yes.
And that's what happened.
No, I couldn't agree more.
So Janie invites them to come home. Rachel says yes. And obviously, like, not just for Ryder, though. Like, Rachel's life would be easier as well.
And also, Rachel has to have another surgery.
And I'm like, but also, I'm assuming the custody shit goes out the window.
I know.
Like,
right.
we just never talk about that.
I know. I know. I know. I, right.
And it's frustrating that Janie is always her only option.
Right.
Always, always her only option. Like, where is everyone else? Where are all these amazing friends?
Well, like Robin, you know what I mean? Like Robin, who's here in the documentary. Like, I don't know. Like, it's
Maybe Rachel didn't tell them. Maybe right. I'm being the asshole now, because again, we're seeing this from a lens of seeing everything fully. We're talking about an episode that we watched intently and took notes on.
But I can't imagine that Rachel would live in a shelter for 6 weeks and everybody in her life doesn't know that.
I don't, you know?
You know what I mean?
I don't.
Especially with Ryder, like, I don't
with
know.
With the custody battle?
Yeah. Yeah, and Sister Bette is here to say, like,
I was concerned about her moving back in with Janie just because I thought if she could be that cruel and do that to her, you know, what else is she capable of? But I just stayed out of it. It wasn't my call to make, you know?
Because it wasn't any of my business. It kind of is your business, Bette. Because I'll tell you, if my sister was going through this, that's my business.
But we don't, I mean, it's hard to say because Bette is here telling the story too, right?
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to say, like, but we don't know their dynamic.
Right.
But maybe,
I will just say,
filmmaker, could you let us know their dynamic?
Well, just looking at them and the way they look, like very different people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They seem like they have two very different worldviews or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
And maybe Rachel separated herself from her family and wanted that distance. I don't know.
We don't know.
But I think this is it's none of my business, yes, but half of the family is here telling their story on a documentary. So it does feel to me that maybe like some of these questions could have been answered very quickly.
I totally agree.
Because I want to go back to hating Janie. And I have too many other questions.
No worries about that.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids.
But with Anabay, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabay sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
So Rachel and Ryder are back in the house. Ryder immediately starts to thrive. It's exactly what he wanted, exactly what he needed. And by April of 2019, Rachel has yet another surgery. And everything goes like fairly routine. And quote, Janie, quote, graciously offered to help me. I'm like, of course she did.
Well, and she's helping with the wound care, which like I just know from the minor back surgery I had.
These are incisions on Rachel's back.
Yes. And you cannot dress those wounds yourself. You like if it wasn't Janie, there would have to be some sort of home health aid to do that for her.
Yeah.
So thank God Janie is there, but it also makes Rachel completely dependent on her.
Right.
Steve, I don't know if I ever thanked you enough for that, girl. Thank you, honey.
You can't see what's going on back there.
Yeah.
So Janie would do things that were weird. For example, all she would have to do is change the bandage.
Right.
But instead, she'd be like rubbing the area and Rachel would be like, what's going on back there, girl?
Uh-huh.
And so then suddenly, like soon after the rubbing, Rachel would be feeling a lot of pain. And now she's in her back, but she can't see it. So she'd ask like her trusty best friend, roommate, helper, medical aficionado, Janie. Yeah.
And Janie'd be like, no, girl, all good. Everything looks fine.
She'd be like, do I need to go to a doctor? And Janie's like, Dr. Schmachter.
But this is also like the 2000 teens, like take to the iPhone and get a picture.
I know.
You know what I mean? Rachel, ask her to take a picture and show you.
Yeah, I would need to see it.
Yes. Because I'm in actual physical pain. But then again, maybe you're just like, it's post-surgery.
Whatever.
Everything sucks.
Whatever. So eventually, though, this is, if you're like, if you get squeamish about medical stuff, this is your warning.
Yeah.
Eventually, the incisions are swelling up so badly that Rachel is struggling to breathe.
Because the swelling in her neck is pushing against her trachea, she says.
And of course, Janie's like, it's fine, you big baby. You're so silly. Classic Rachel overreacting again. But Rachel's finally like, no. So she goes to urgent care.
And the doctor was standing behind me. He took the bandage off, and I felt him almost jump back. And I said to him, what's wrong? He said, this massive infection. The way he described it was blue cheese coming out of my wound.
He said it was like blue cheese coming out of my wounds. And my first thing is get Janie the fuck away from Ryder.
I know.
Get her away from him now.
Yep.
So Rachel goes from urgent care immediately to the emergency room.
Yes.
Like, this cannot wait. Because the doctor's probably like, why did you wait?
Right,
you were in pain, and this swelling didn't happen overnight. Like, what happened?
But like, this again.
It's really bad.
We saw this in the Mommy, Dead, and Dearest one with Gypsy Rose Blanchard. We see all of these medical professionals who should be asking more fucking questions.
Yeah.
You know what
but
I mean?
But at this point, urgent care is like, girl, ER, it's out of my hands right now. Like, you urgent? Yes, urgent indeed.
Well,
let's
because
go.
Because they culture it in the ER, and it comes back to be MRSA. Now, MRSA is an infection that is resistant to antibiotics. It can kill you.
It's a very serious staph.
They describe it as almost flesh eating.
Yeah. So, but conveniently, it's often contracted in hospitals.
Yeah.
Who has spent more time in hospitals than Rachel?
I know.
So at first, everyone's like, oh shit, that had to have been where it came from. You just left the hospital again. You've had 50 surgeries in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, what a cost of doing business. What a tragedy. But no one is looking at anybody else.
Yeah. It's true. My mom had one of these infections once.
But it's weird, though.
Yeah.
Again, looking back with our hindsight, Janie should have clocked it.
You know,
if you got the infection at the hospital.
Yeah, and it's going to get so much more obvious in just a second. So they put Rachel on the antibiotic that can treat it.
Or that can maybe treat it sometimes.
But then we learn that medicine starts attacking her white blood cells. And she's like, she got very ill. She said, I could feel the life draining out of me. To my core, I knew that I was going to die.
But miraculously, I mean, truly, like, it's really bad for a while. Really, really bad. But amazingly, Rachel does get better.
Yeah.
Whatever regimen they have her on, like, it's starting to work. Rachel is so much better that she's back at home with Janie, hanging out, girls' night in, watching their true crime docs.
Watching some Dateline. And it's one of the ones about a nurse who tried to kill her husband. And Rachel's like, oh my God,
what an idiot.
What a dumb nurse. Because she used like some poison that would show up in an autopsy. And Janie's like, tell me more.
She's like, what do you mean? Can you elaborate and like spare no detail?
Hang on, I'm gonna turn on this voice memo and just record that. Is that okay?
And Rachel's like,
and I said, knowing that it could be considered a suspicious death, I said, you do something like insulin, because that's naturally occurring in the body. And she's like, oh, interesting.
Janie, who might as well be taking notes, is like, cool, cool, cool. So super interesting, and yet not at all relevant to me.
But like, also, how much insulin would kill a person? Just out of curiosity.
Just ballpark it. But actually, give me exact numbers.
Yes,
for a person of your
weight, by the way,
and height, exactly.
And your name, I mean.
And if you carry the one, what does that get you?
And then what?
And Rachel says, look. Hearing it now, she's like, obviously, in this context, it's very obvious. But she goes, we were talking back to these true crime docs all the time. And she was an EMT and she knew that. And so like, that's the conversations they would have. So looking back on it, once we know the insulin thing, but there were 100 other comments about they should have done this, they should have done that, that we're not talking about because that's how everyone watches these true crime docs. Dear listener, you included. We all do it.
And you know, and Rachel has the knowledge of the insulin. Remember, she was an EMT. She knows of what she speaks.
And also, no more custody battle, I guess. We're just all back home.
Has anyone heard from Sister Bet? No.
The father? Nobody? Everyone is just like...
What are the Thanksgiving plans?
But you know what's so scary and sad? It's like, if Jane Janie's okay, everything else is okay.
Well, that's
exactly
it. And
when Janie's upset, the world explodes. Yep. But right now, everything is cool. So like no one's even mentioning the word custody battle because that might tip Janie off again and she'll go crazy.
So it's June 9th, 2019. Rachel says, I remember Janie had put me in my bed and given me my medication because remember, she'd had another surgery. Next thing I know, I wake up in the hospital.
And I was told that my blood sugar had dropped to 13. Since I'm not diabetic, nor have any diabetic issues, these are shocking to everyone, including myself.
Rachel, who is not diabetic, suddenly has severe blood sugar issues.
Yeah.
Almost as if someone gave her a bunch of insulin she didn't need.
Yeah, her blood sugar drops to 13. Average is like 80 to 110. You know, Beth, the sister who's a nurse, rushes to the hospital, meets Janie in the waiting room, asking her a million questions, and she's like...
That's when it really hit me. I was like, I'm sorry, the sister who's a nurse lives only 5 hours away.
I know.
It's not that far when
five hours
in dire straits.
Versus 6 weeks in a shelter. Again, we don't know Beth's life. We
don't know
the circumstances, but it's like, oh my God. So Beth, the sister, is really caught off guard by Janie's demeanor in the hospital. She's cold. She's distant. Beth's sobbing. Janie doesn't seem to give a shit that her best friend is about to die.
And she's not comforting her best friend's sister. Yeah. Like, it's all very strange. But now Beth will eventually tell Rachel that Janie was almost mad.
Yes.
That Rachel survived.
Yes. My question is, how did she get to the hospital? Like, did Janie think that she waited just long enough that she wouldn't survive? You know what I mean?
I mean, perhaps. I think that's a good bet. Because if you're Janie, you're like, God damn it, this bitch is immortal. Like, what do I have to do? Like, imagine, like, how pissed you are as
she's
Janie.
She's immortal. Absolutely.
But now Rachel sees this as grief because Janie is, quote, awkward, and that's how she grieves. Yeah. And I'm like, you can be awkward, but you don't have to be an asshole. And
you know, Rachel says, in hindsight, there were a lot of red flags that I missed. It's like, but we are also making excuses for the abuser. I think that's a thing that we do.
Everyone does it.
You know?
Yeah, but in the moment, it was a little bit of a relief for me to hear that she's like, I miss a lot of red flags.
Yes.
Because we don't get that a lot.
No, that's true.
That's a sentence we don't hear a lot, and I'm going to take the win where
I can get it. Yeah, I'll take it too.
But there are things where it's like, but again, look, I've been in situations and I've known people where you're screaming and being like, can't you see?
I know.
And then it's like, right, but he was there for me during a very important time.
Yeah.
They were there for me when this major life thing happened, they were there. And it's like, great, what has he done for you lately?
I know.
Except try to fucking kill you.
We told you are the Cassandra. And I will hear it in my headphones every time I think about you. You be like, for us, it's a living hell.
Do you believe me?
It's a living
hell. It's a living hell. It's hell on earth.
Listen, I will never not believe you again, is all I will say.
Yeah, but would you act on it?
We'll have to see what
we'll have
there.
To see. Oh, can't wait. Can't wait to see how this turns out.
But the thing that happens is...
they watched me for 48 hours. My blood sugar was fine. I was fine. So they thought a fluke had happened. I'd gotten sick or something, and something had caused it. I went home on a Sunday, and Tuesday, I woke up in the hospital.
Wakes up on Tuesday, back in the hospital.
Same blood sugar issue. They're calling in the experts. Meanwhile, Janie is stewing in the waiting room playing Kendrick Lamar on repeat. Now, let me say, I'm the biggest hater. I hate the way that you walk, the way that you talk. She is a fucking hater.
I know.
Of the ultimate, like a murderous hater.
And but Rachel is immortal. Like at this point, Janie is pissed.
But like that
I know.
Is what is so, because now Janie, she's just like, it's like activating her even more.
In all seriousness, why isn't every doctor in the fucking hospital being like, who's giving you the insulin? You know what I mean?
Right. Well, so dear listener, after this, Rachel is hospitalized yet again for the same issue. This is now the third time she's going in for blood sugar and insulin. And the only thing that would cause this is that she's somehow getting insulin. And even at this point, her friends are like, girl.
Robin, the doctor, is like, are you doing this to yourself?
Are you doing this?
But my question, but Robin,
like, why?
I love you, Robin, but Rachel's not the only person who lives in that house. You know what I mean?
There are two constants here.
Right. It's either got to be Rachel, Janie, or the son.
And Janie, who everyone hated from the beginning.
Exactly.
Now, Rachel is eating spoonfuls of sugar every single night like she's in fucking Mary Poppins. Trying to get her blood sugar to skyrocket, downing sugar, and then like hoping she wakes up the next day. It's no way to live. It's insane.
But also, this is where, and I understand that Rachel is very sick, but this is where Rachel needs to be looking at, like, wait a second.
But also, does no one else know about the custody battle? Did Rachel not tell her friends?
I don't know.
Because I'm asking, a second, why are we asking Rachel, are you injecting yourself, when the person who was giving her the medicine got fucked up? Someone was supposed to be cleaning her and decision.
Yeah.
The person who, that very same person who ignored the fucking blue cheese in her back also was trying
they got a trigger warning last time.
Sorry. We're fucking here now. Train has left the station and it's off the rails and it's exploded.
The fact that your body can make its own blue cheese if it has to.
I mean, like, if it's forced to, because Janie made it happen. And so no one's like,
Yeah.
Why do I hear Kendrick Lamar on repeat? What's going on? I know. Like, what the fuck is going on?
I know. Robin says it was just bizarre. Nothing was adding up. And I'm like, I'm pulling my hair out because it's all adding up for me.
Also, Kendrick's right to hate Drake, but whatever.
Okay.
We'll move on. But this is going on and on and on and on and on.
Well, like, until it doesn't, because on December 12, 2019, Steve Cadiz, special agent with the FBI, is here. This guy's job title, he's the coordinator for the Weapons of Mass Destruction Program in Salt Lake City.
I'm like, Toto, where are we? We are so lost.
The weapons of mass destruction.
But I'm like, Steve, can you please make some fucking sense? Because I'm desperate. Desperate for someone to bring us all back to reality, please. Yeah. And he's like, girl, I got you. So he is here because I'm like, weapons of mass destruction? What the fuck?
Well, this covers chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, and explosive weapons of mass destruction. Like, what is going on?
It was a normal day in the office, and a phone call came in asking us to conduct an investigation on a person attempting to purchase Versa on the dark web.
He is here.
Yeah.
Because Janie was caught trying to buy Versa on the dark web. Versa with a V. That is worse than MRSA with an M. Which is the medicine resistant infection.
Versa with a V,
infection.
Not MRSA with an M, because Versa with a V goes...
Oh, my God. That's the medicine, the antibiotic resistant flesh-eating virus that was trying to kill Rachel?
Yeah. Robbie Roselle, that was for you, girl.
Hi, Robbie. But he's like, the reason I'm here is because MRSA didn't work.
I know.
So Janie bought Versa instead.
Also, this diabolical fucking asshole is on the dark web.
God.
And like the FBI is saying, like, just for reference, you're one click away from all the horrible shit I'm not going to name.
I hate the dark web. Please don't. The dark web, the idea of it is a really triggering thing for me. It's awful for my particular kind of crazy and my intrusive thoughts. Like, I can't even, I think it's horrifying. Like, I wish I didn't know it existed. It's the worst.
Well, and because initially, like, they know that Janie is buying this stuff, but they don't know who Janie is, right? They think that she might be buying it to, like, put in the fucking reservoir and poison the town.
Because Versa is considered a biological weapon, and Utah sees that as a weapon of mass destruction. And I'm like, yeah, may I direct your attention to the year 2020 and everything that came after
about
how fast things can spread.
Exactly.
And now this is, what, 2019?
Yes.
So everyone is thinking, who is Janie? Like, what is her goal here?
Well, there
with
was
the
a whole
Versa?
Documentary on Netflix about, like, the idea about how easy it would be to get one of these, like, weapons of mass destruction and just drop it in a reservoir. You know what I mean? Like, it's very fucking terrifying.
So they say we got to act fast.
Yes.
So the FBI is looking into Janie, and Sergeant Jen finds, thank God, the custody dispute from 2018.
Yeah.
And they learned that Janie is the main caregiver for Rachel. And they now learn everything we've been screaming about.
Right.
The surgeries, the disputes, all of that.
And these are the first people who are putting the dots together.
So Janie had motive and opportunity to use the Versa against Rachel so that she could get custody of the son. I think that Rachel was in grave danger.
Like, wait, this woman tried to kill her this way. This woman, like, the insulin and the custody battle and the MRSA, but now she's trying to get Versa. They're like, Rachel, you in danger, girl.
Sergeant Jen is like, this is the easiest case I ever had. Clear as day.
And she's the U of the FBI.
Like, oh, my God. Yeah, they'll get there eventually. It's not fun.
Girl, I know.
It's not a fun thing.
But I will tell you, the other side of it is also not fun. You know what I mean?
I care less about that side of it. So in December 2019, Janie kind of can't keep up the mask anymore because this fucking bitch won't die. What does she have to do? That's how diabolical she is. That's what she's thinking. She's mad that the murder didn't work. She's an insane person.
That the murder didn't work.
She's an insane person.
Listen, we're talking the insulin four different times.
Yep.
The MRSA.
The infection.
I mean, we're talking at least five times she tried to kill her.
At least. But, like, her darkness is now becoming undeniable. Even
this bitch won't die.
Janie's like, what the fuck?
Oh, my God.
No amount of Dateline episodes, no amount of advice, like, nothing. But even, she's so dark. Like, it's so obvious that even Rachel, who's trying to give her the benefit of the doubt, is like, something's up with Janie.
Yes.
And, like, Janie is getting so detached that she's putting Ryder in danger because she's being negligent, and Rachel, like, can't handle that.
No.
That's what she can't take.
Well, and finally, after 20-something years, Rachel's like, I'm going to move out.
Well, first, though, Rachel changes her will.
Yes.
Rachel removes Janie as Ryder's guardian, and Rachel's father, Ryder's grandfather, is now the guardian.
Yes.
So that's the first thing. But Rachel...
And she tells Janie, which is, like, dangerous.
But, like, she's also still not being totally direct with Janie, because Rachel, like, gently floats the idea of possibly, maybe moving out, but not permanently, just for a little while.
Yeah.
Just so we can work on our friendship. She's not even saying that. And it's like, Rachel, you know you're scared of her.
But the thing is,
why you're doing that. You're scared of her.
We say it all the time. We know that people in abusive, scary relationships are in the most danger when they leave.
I
know?
No, and yeah. I completely understand. And my point by saying that was like, Rachel, just say to us today, yes. I was scared of her.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
But Rachel said it enough.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, the FBI has a plan to catch Janie.
Right. Because Janie says to Rachel, just stay until Christmas. Stay until Christmas and then go on your way, whatever. So the FBI is like, we got to act now. December 15th, 2019, FBI makes a plan.
We made plans to deliver fake Versa to the post office box and then send a tracking receipt to Janie so she would know her package had arrived. We knew we needed to move quickly because Janie asked if she could pay extra to have it expedited and shipped to her overnight.
Janie, by the way, who asked for Versa to be expedited overnight
express.
Oh my
God. I mean, like, she needs to kill this woman right like, now.
And they're going to be watching Janie / the post office.
Can you imagine being so fucking nuts that you're on the dark web, you ordered your MRSA, and you got to be like, and that didn't work. You guys got anything stronger?
And they're like, yeah.
Yeah, we do.
And then you go, great, overnight, I know. Expedite, overnight express it. Delivery it.
Oh my. And also you psychopaths who are buying shit on the dark web, just know the FBI is monitoring that shit all the time.
They fucking better be.
You can't get away with anything.
They fucking better be. So they want to catch Janie getting and signing for the fake Versa, and that's exactly what happens.
Right.
So she walks right in, picks it up.
Yeah. The people who work at this UPS store are handling a package containing this incredibly fucking dangerous toxic bacteria. That is
Except
the thing
they're
that,
not.
Because it's fake.
Fake.
But I mean, that's probably how she got the MRSA. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they just send it to the dark web just sends shit to the UPS store.
Yeah.
That is wild.
So they get Janie. They're like, Janie, why don't you have a seat? And she lies immediately and poorly.
And we hear it. They go to see her at work. They're like, can we have a minute of your time? And like, we hear the recording of this conversation.
And they're like, what went on inside the UPS store? And she's like, oh, I picked up a package. A friend of mine was sending me coffee beans. I haven't opened it. Why do you ask? She goes, is there something I should be concerned about?
Oh my God.
And the FBI's like, Janie, cut the shit. It's not coffee. You know it. We know it. You know that we know it. Like, are you going to come clean or what?
I know.
And Janie then lies again.
You know what? You got me.
But this
it's
lie,
beer.
She goes, no.
I went on the site. And I ordered this, and it is a biological one that you can make beer with.
Okay. Have you bought all the other supplies to make the beer?
No.
Oh, okay.
I've never done this before. You wanted to make it for New Year's Eve.
Okay.
I've never done this before, and I bought this weird biological thing to make beer for a New Year's Eve party. I'm like, yeah, try something new the night of a party. Now there's nothing to drink. Thanks a lot, Janie. I know that's a lie. I'm just saying. You don't try something new the day of an event.
Steve, the FBI guy, is like, can we just start fresh? We know it's biological. We don't believe it's beer, girl. Finally, she
It's not coffee. It's not beer.
No.
She tells like, a half-truth.
Yeah, it's actually Versa.
She says, I ordered the bacteria to do research on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I ordered bacteria that I can only get on the dark web to help my dear friend, Rachel, who, by the way, no one here has asked about.
Right.
How rude. And also, no idiot, research insulin, you fucking dummy.
Oh, my God, I know.
Whatever. Janie's caught and she's arrested.
They arrest Janie. They go to Rachel's house. Rachel's like, it was just a normal Tuesday, just laying in bed, half dead, essentially.
She's defending Janie.
She is.
Because the FBI is being super vague, but they're also asking a lot of questions. And this is where, but again, like.
Because they have to drop like really fucking terrifying information on her.
And no one wants to believe it.
Yeah.
No one wants to believe it.
They're kid-gloving her too much. They just need to say like, girl, you are in serious fucking danger.
Because Rachel's like, I've known Janie for 25 years. Like, she would never intentionally hurt me. Like, well, this has to be a misunderstanding.
Because they're asking like, does she teach science? Does she do experiments in the garage?
Like, no.
And she's like, what are you talking? Does she make beer? No, none of the above.
So like, we hear the FBI say like, well, this is what she said. And Rachel's like, what? Like, her head must be spinning.
Yeah.
But the FBI says,
it's not the first thing she's ordered off the dark web.
What has she ordered off the dark web? Could she order insulin?
They looked at each other, and then they looked at me, and all the questions stopped. And they kind of perked up.
Did she order insulin? And everyone in the room.
Yeah.
Is like looking. Everything changes. Everything stops.
That's a major moment.
And they're like, what? Why?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when Rachel tells the FBI about her insulin issues.
Yes.
So here's what was going on. Janie was drugging Rachel with things like fucking ketamine.
Yes.
And injecting her with insulin and MRSA. And they can prove, based on what was ordered when and the hospital records and when Rachel was sick with what or what
the
surgeries
were. They also find an insulin pen in the trash with Rachel's DNA on it.
I mean, my God.
I know.
They can prove that Janie tried to kill Rachel at least 5 times over the course of 1 year.
Un- fucking believable.
And the goal was to always send Rachel to the hospital, because if she died, if Rachel died in the hospital, it would have been, quote, an attended death.
Yes.
So there would be no investigation. There would be no autopsy. And it was almost working in Janie's favor that she was sick all the time.
Uh-huh.
Because then it's like one of these things would stick. And yes. Then like it, there would be no investigation because it was like, oh, poor Rachel.
This bitch won't die.
Like, Janie would have gotten away with it. She would have gotten the life insurance. She would have gotten Ryder.
I think somebody would have started asking some fucking questions.
I don't know. They haven't asked a single question yet.
I know. You would hope that somebody would look back and be like, remember that time she tried to get custody of Ryder 5 years ago?
No one else remembers it except for me, it seems like. And now the FBI and Sergeant Jen. It's
you
fucking
can really
diabolical.
Hold a grudge, girl.
I know. It's diabolical. But after her arrest, we get the on-screen text now. After her arrest in 2019, Janie was charged with 3 crimes. 1, aggravated abuse of a vulnerable adult. 2, attempted aggravated abuse of a vulnerable child.
Yeah.
And 3, attempted acquisition of a biological weapon. And in August of 2020, she was convicted on all 3 charges.
So she's going to go away for 30 years, right?
No attempted murder?
I know. Well, right.
Hello?
I mean, I wonder...
Kidnapping?
Well, the good news is Janie's going to rot in prison for 50 years.
Oh, girl. I don't know about that.
When I read what came next, I fucking screamed.
So Rachel and Janie face off in court.
Yeah.
And Rachel is like, this is when Rachel is talking about how maybe if she was a better friend, she could have helped Janie. I'm like, Rachel, it's not you. It's her. It's so clearly her.
I hate that for Rachel so much. She is blamed. If I could have been a better friend, I could have saved her. She wouldn't have.
Rachel, the minute Janie's away from you, all of these mystery illnesses stop.
Yes. Yes. She tried to kill you to take your kid, girl.
You know, but yes, Rachel has like back issues and chronic pain, but she can actually do things now. Ryder's thriving. Like, we take Janie out of the equation, life gets 100 times better. Like,
it's just the Rachel blaming herself for not having been a better friend to Janie, the girl who tried to kill her 6 times.
Yeah.
It's I just hate it so much.
So it's like, oh wow, we're kind of ending.
Yeah.
Weird. I can't wait to see what the sentencing is, because Rachel, it ends sort of with Rachel saying like, Janie didn't ruin my life, she ruined hers. And I'm like, fuck yeah. We end with a phone call from prison. Ring, ring, it's Janie.
This is like the Jarecki call. It's like, this is so wild.
And this is, because now, like, we heard a little bit of muffled Janie from the FBI.
Yeah.
But, like, we haven't heard, like, Janie fully diabolical activated Janie.
Yes, yes.
Until this.
She says,
I know what's going to happen. I'm going to end up out of here. I'm going to find a way to get him away from her. He needs to come back to me now.
He needs to come back to me.
Now.
That is wild.
My jaw is
I'm
on the ground.
Screaming. Then we get the on-screen text. Janie served only 25 months in prison. In January 2022, she was granted parole and released.
She walks among us.
That psychopath has been out. And like the final shot of the episode is like the camera, like a point of view shot from the woods, like spying on Rachel and Ryder playing in
the
park.
Yeah, we didn't need that. That's too much. It's scary enough. This is a real life horror movie. Like,
I looked it up. Like, I couldn't find any information on what's going on
but
with Janie.
I don't understand the 25 months. She tried to kill Rachel 10 times.
She got a weapon of mass destruction.
Did we learn nothing from 2020? Jesus Christ.
It's fucking crazy.
She's just out in the world, and that's how it ends.
Oh.
That's how it ends.
Oh my God. Oh my God, girl, we did the worst roommate ever. Like, that was really wild.
It's really crazy.
I mean, really. Like, Janie, are you listening? What is her deal?
I hate her. It just sucks because, like, Rachel, for a moment, thought she can kind of live in peace. And now Rachel's going to look over her shoulder and ride her shoulder for the rest of their lives.
Which is so fucking, and seemingly by herself.
Seemingly.
You know what I mean?
I mean, family, come on.
I know. TCO fam, join us over on the Patreon. We got Drag Bingo coming up. We got the November and December Drag Bingo booked. You'll get the email. We'll let you know the date, and then you'll get the email like the day before to sign up. Just remember to sign up, just register for it, and then join us. It's the
best. It's so much fun.
I might come as like Santa Claus for the December one.
Oh, cute.
Maybe I'll come as a turkey for the November one.
Oh.
I'm into costumes now.
Okay, yeah. Halloween really opened it up for you. All right, we'll see.
What do we got going on next?
We are doing Family Secrets, The Disappearance of Alyssa Turney on Peacock.
Sarah Turney is our friend. I just watched it the other day.
She really took the reins on this, Sarah.
Oh, she's like the executive producer of the thing. It's a really, really, really good documentary.
Yeah.
I'm really, really happy for her to get to tell her story in this way. We are also going to have an interview with Sarah Turney.
We are.
That's going to be on Patreon the same day that episode goes live.
Yep.
So, Patreon fam, that's for you.
Yeah, if you don't know much about this case, it is wild. Alyssa Turney's case. It's
This is the first time I've seen the whole thing presented in its totality in this way. It's a really good documentary.
It's very good. Yeah.
All right, fam. We love you and we'll see you next time.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
On the last day of her junior year, Alyssa went missing.
And that changed everything. My dad told me that Alyssa had run away. I was in shock. I felt so much guilt. I blamed myself. But because I was so young, it's hard to rely on my own memory. So I had to go back and try to piece together the truth.
Alyssa, do not leave the building whatsoever.
Searching for the truth, I was frustrated. I wanted to tell Alyssa's story
in this episode.
And that's when I found podcasting and TikTok. And I start to put together the pieces.
You got me in trouble, Dad.
Nobody's heard from Alyssa.
I'm trying to meet you in the middle here, Dad.
You've destroyed your own family.
When I start to uncover more facts about my own life that I never knew, it starts to make me question everything.
Time for a sofa upgrade?
Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink-in feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.